The following recording was produced by the Queechy Church in Queechy, Vermont. For more information on the church, its activities, and resources, please visit us online at www.queechychurch.org.
Reading is from Psalm 77. I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea. Your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron.
Well, good morning, everyone. As was mentioned of me, I think you all know me, Joshua de Pascrita, pastoral resident with CRC. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. I've got two plugs to make before I begin sharing the word. The first one is that for summer celebration camp, I get to be in charge of it this year, which is very exciting. So I get to plug specifically, if you would like to volunteer, please go to the website and sign up on the volunteer form, because we're looking not concerningly sparse so far, but I would love to have more people on our team, especially on our planning team, who hasn't been able to meet yet because we're still looking for some people to help out with that. So if you're interested in helping out, definitely talk to me or let me know, or absolutely feel free to sign up on that link on the website. I'd love to have you on the team. So, and then the second plug, Noah came up to me this morning and he said that he wanted me to share about how his recent surgery has gone very well, and that he was brave and he did it. It was scary, but it happened. And so we can definitely praise the Lord for that, which is awesome. And so I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for just the way that you continue to make evident your hand in our midst. Lord, I thank you for giving Noah the bravery to do the surgery and to for guiding the hands of the doctors and making it go well. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to minister to the kids of the Upper Valley for a summer celebration camp, and the exciting opportunity to be in your word this morning. We thank you for just everything that you are to us as God. And I pray that as we come to the word this morning in Psalm 77, that you'd continue to help us to continue to see and remember who you are, who you are for us, and then who you are just as the magnificent, amazing, loving God. Lord, may you help me to preach your word. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Human memory has enormous capability. According to some research, you have an average of 70,000 thoughts in one day. Over the course of a lifetime, the human brain will hold up to 1 quadrillion pieces of information. That's one with 15 zeros. The neuron and axon pathways of the brain, if stretched out, would be 100,000 miles. One person has enough brain pathways to circle the Earth 4 times. Yet, research suggests that unless interested in a topic, most adults have an attention span of less than 20 minutes. While short-term memory can hold up to 7 pieces of information at the same time, it only holds for around 20 seconds. And though it varies vastly, there is some research that suggests that on average, within an hour of learning something new, people have forgotten an average of 50% of that information. Within 24 hours, 70%, and within a week, forgetting claims up to 90% of new information. You gotta wonder, if our brains have such high capacities, how come we so often fail to remember? Well, this summer at CRC and the surrounding churches, we get to start once again a Summer in the Psalms series. And so I really love the Psalms because when we go to the Psalms, we get to learn and see how to pray. It really is the prayer book of the Old Testament. We get to see how to learn how to pray to God, learn how to meditate on His Word, learn how to meditate on Him. It can guide a person's thoughts. It teaches the followers of God to guard our thoughts and our ways and live rightly. It teaches us to worship the Lord. We get to learn about lamenting and how to continue to abound in suffering. Now, there's something foundational to the Psalms that helps a person find and follow God. And that foundational principle is remembering God. Remembering God. And today, I'm going to use Psalm 77 as an example to explore the power of memory. I'm going to do that in 3 points this morning, as per standard preaching procedure. The first one is called to remember. The second one is struggling to remember. And the third one is striving to remember. So first, called to remember. What exactly is remembering? Well, Merriam-Webster defines remembering as to bring to mind or to think of again, to keep in mind for attention or consideration or to retain in the memory. Now, the Bible's usage of the word in the Old Testament is the word zakar. And that word is the word meaning memory or calling to mind or recalling. And the word is used over 200 times. 32 of those uses are just in the first 5 books, so Genesis through Deuteronomy, often used in warning or command or just in reminder. 58 of those uses are over 4 of the prophetic books, also paired with a call to return to the Lord. But surpassing all of them, the one book that uses the word the most is the Psalms. In just one book, it uses the word 52 times. Now, why the Psalms? Well, if the call to remember the Lord and His ways is so often used in the rest of Scripture, in the law, the narratives, and the prophetic books of the Bible, it only makes sense that the prayer book of the Bible would be filled with things like, God, please help me to remember You. And God, please remember Your promises to me. There's something powerful about remembering the Lord. You see, remembering the Lord fills the sufferer with hope when they remember Him rightly. In the time of reflection this morning, there's a quote included by Charles Spurgeon, and I'm going to read that to you today because he is a great English Baptist preacher, and he said in his commentary of Psalm 143, right in the time of reflection quote, it says, "When we see nothing new which can cheer us, let us think upon old things. We once had merry days, days of deliverance and joy and thanksgiving. Why not again? Jehovah rescued his people in the ages centuries ago. Why should he not do the like again? We ourselves have a rich past to look upon. We have sunny memories, sacred memories, satisfactory memories. And these are the flowers for the bees of faith to visit, from whence they may make honey for present use." It's a beautiful picture of how the Psalms and many of the scriptures have reminders that are sweet like honey, satisfying promises and great deeds of the Lord to take comfort and refuge in, praise him for, and remember, especially when circumstances feel bleak. It's a model for us to remember that the Lord has done many great things in our past. And it's a model to remember how his word guides our lives and reminds us of his faithfulness. And that's it. It's a simple sermon takeaway. Remember the Lord. He always has a plan to deliver his people. But it's not that simple, is it? You see, the Psalms were written for a reason. Because we need help with this. Big time. You see, everyone encounters bad circumstances. Everyone encounters bad circumstances. And in verse 2, the first part of it, in Psalm 77, it's the psalmist Asaph calls it, "In the day of my trouble." You see, in the Psalms, this expression refers to oppression most often, from war or slavery or mistreatment or betrayal. Now, broadly in the Psalms, it refers to any form of suffering that can cause emotional turmoil, like injury or disease, terminal diagnoses, a death of a family member or a friend, the loss of a job or change in a job, rejection by others, loneliness, anxiety and depression. The list could go on and on about suffering that the Psalms address. Because everyone encounters bad circumstances. That's why remember God isn't so simple as it sounds. So this message is for anyone who is suffering on any level or who will suffer on any level at any time. And so that's all of us. Because this world includes suffering. Whether you're a Christian or not, everyone suffers. So please come with me to Psalm 77 and let me show you the only true comfort for any struggler and one of the foundational principles of the Psalms. So point two, struggling to remember. Struggling to remember. If we read Psalm 77 and we read the title, it says to the choir master, according to the Diduthan, a psalm of Asaph. Now Asaph was a worship leader in the days of King David. He was a worship leader in the Levitical priests in David's reign, and he was very familiar with war and death of friends and family, and he saw many of it in his time. He also saw and was very familiar with God's victory over their enemies. Asaph has a few psalms in the Bible. I think if I recall correctly, it's 12. They're written as songs of worship to God. But they are not psalms of a man who is totally happy with God. His songs reflect emotional angst and suffering, struggling to stay upright. And in this Psalm 77, Asaph's struggle serves as an example for us in our own struggle. So in verses 2 through 9, ask yourself the question, when is it a struggle to remember? When is it a struggle? Well, verses 2 through 4 say, "In the day of my trouble I seek the Lord. In the night my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Asaph writes in a way that shows his desperation. He wants comfort so badly, but he's in such anguish that he refuses to be comforted by seeking the Lord. In his remembering of God, there is hurt. It says when he remembers God, he moans. When he meditates, he faints. It feels like God is prolonging his agony by holding his eyelids open and not letting him sleep. And yet he has no words that he thinks he can say to God. Have you ever been in a place like that? Where it seems like God is the last thing that you want to call out to? Has it ever seemed like God was prolonging your suffering and making it worse rather than better, adding heartache on top of heartache? Have you ever felt like if God is up there, it doesn't seem like he is for me? For people in this place, it's a struggle even to see God as a possible comfort to our circumstances when it seems like he is the one causing them to be hard. It's a struggle to remember. It's a struggle to remember when remembering hurts. It's also a struggle to remember when we're searching. In verses 5 and 6, it says, I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let my remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. If you're one who's been walking with the Lord for a long time, these verses will be especially pertinent for you when you consider and encounter suffering. You see, there's a hearkening back to good times gone by when our worship of God was sweet. Maybe you can think of a spiritual high at a retreat or a summer camp or at a particular church growing up or some other joyful experience where the Lord felt close. A time when you experienced his love in full force, where you saw his blessing and grace, where you felt seen and cared for. That could be right now for many of us, feeling the blessings of the Lord. So pay attention, because suffering is coming in the future. It's a guarantee of living on planet Earth. But those times for the sufferer who suffers now can seem very far away, even when our soul searches diligently for them. Or they can even seem fake, unreal. Did that really happen? I don't know right now. There has to be some merit to them, right? I remember them. But it doesn't seem like it matters much right now. It's a struggle to remember when you're searching and come up with nothing. And verses 7 to 10, it's a struggle to remember when it seems like God forgot. Will the Lord spurn forever and will never again be favorable? His steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Then I said, I will appeal to this, the years of the right hand of the Most High. You see, it's a struggle to remember when it seems like God forgot. If God is good and he has been good to us in the past, why does it seem like the opposite right now? If we know God shows favor, why in the middle of suffering does it feel like we've been rejected? Why in the middle of suffering, if God loves, does it feel like he's abandoned me? In the middle of suffering, you might ask, is God angry with me? You might ask, has God forgotten me? You might ask, has he changed? I don't know if you have the footnote that's in your Bible, but in verse 10, there's another way to translate the verse saying, it is my agony that the hand of the Most High has changed. Like, has he changed somehow? That the blessings that were in the past are not today, says the sufferer. If God is loving, good, gracious, and he's promised to deliver his people, why does he allow these bad things to happen to me or to other people? God, what are you doing? I don't get it. When remembering hurts, when we're searching, when it feels like God forgets us, there is still only one sure thing that will remain a solid foundation through the end of time. And that brings me to my third point, in striving to remember. Verses 11 to 15 call God as our Redeemer. It says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. Now, Asaph here is very likely recalling the Exodus, when God saved his people magnificently from the Egyptians. Or he may be recalling recent victories of David over the Philistines, or the blessings of the promised land that he lives in. In verse 15, it says, you with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. For Asaph, he's talking about a physical deliverance from enemies and oppression. He's talking about God making them his people. It's true for us, too, that God does deliver from physical oppression, and it definitely should be in our prayers that he does so. What's also true of this word to redeem is to claim as a people. Often you see this word used when God is a redeemer from something to something, bringing his people from oppression into his sanctuary. Redeeming is calling a people to himself. It's actually really fascinating if you study the use of that word. God has claimed in the Old Testament the people of Israel as people, as his people, the descendants, it says, of Jacob and Joseph. Today, God also claims the church as his people, those who profess faith in the Redeemer of sin, Jesus. You see, the reason for suffering is because the world is corrupted by sin. There are sinful people and natural disasters that cause hurt and pain. We are all sinful people who cause others hurt. We're all sinful people who cause suffering. And the consequence of that sin is death, eternal separation from God. And that means suffering for forever, with no hope. But there is hope only in Jesus, in the perfect Son of God, taking our penalty by dying for us. There is hope in Jesus' resurrection from the dead and his offer of eternal life and victory over sin and suffering for forever. Those who accept Jesus as their Savior have God as their Redeemer, and in him they have hope of being free from sin and suffering forever. That doesn't mean that suffering stops existing while we're here on this earth for a Christian. It means we have hope that we will keep our faith in God growing and steadfast through suffering. You see, the Psalms are the prayer book of remembrance for the Christian. We remember we are forever delivered and victorious in Christ. We remember that the suffering in this world is hard, but we also remember that God is powerful over our circumstances. Let's read verses 16 to 20. It says, when the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your ways was through the sea, your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. We remember in the Psalms that God is powerful over our circumstances. In the powerful Exodus event, miles of water across the Red Sea was split apart for God's people to walk through. When all hope seemed lost for them, the Egyptians were chasing them behind them, God's people were starting to lose hope, and he sent Moses out over the Red Sea to part the waters with his staff. The waters, miles across, literally parted, and they walked through on dry land with the raging waters as walls on both sides. It's a fear of the Lord. When the waters literally trembled, it says in verse 16, when the waters saw you, they were afraid of God, and they drew back. That's the kind of power. If God can split seas, if the seas and circumstances of our life are afraid of God because of his power, we can absolutely be confident that he has a plan to lead his people through the waters to redemption. You see, when a Christian experiences suffering, the Psalms and the Word of God should be the very comfort that we need to hope. Now, the struggle is real, and God is too. Going all the way back in this psalm to verse 1. It says, I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. See, Asaph struggled to remember, but he knew that God was listening. The psalmist pursues a relationship with God as his only comfort in the struggle. Even when his relationship felt strained, when God felt far away, when it was really hard to remember rightly, he knew, God will hear me. And sometimes that is all the comfort that a sufferer needs. Someone is listening. Someone cares. And that someone has great power over my circumstances. Spurgeon continues in his quote. It didn't include this part in a time of reflection, but he says this in the same book. Memory, meditation, and musing are here set together as the three graces, ministering grace to a mind depressed and likely to be diseased. As David with his harp played away the evil spirit from Saul, so does he here chase away gloom from his own soul by holy communion with God. Today's main takeaway is when the circumstances feel bleak, remember the Lord. He always has a plan to deliver his people. Practically, remembering to pursue a deeper relationship with the Lord can look like a few things. This summer, you can use the Psalms as your prayer book. There's 150 of them, and if I'm not mistaken, there's about 100-something days in the summer between when school is done and school resumes. Sounds like a pretty good, perfect fill of one psalm every day, or maybe two psalms. You can use them as your prayer book to meditate on God daily. What it looks like to pursue a deeper relationship with the Lord also is having a regular Bible memory discipline, memorizing the Word of God, because Scripture memorized is the sweet honey that the sufferer needs for his soul. So Scripture memorized regularly, whether it's one verse a month or one verse a day, is always a great way of pursuing deeper relationship with the Lord. Because then when his suffering comes, you have those things to call to mind. Having a regular rhythm of restful musing on the Lord is another way of pursuing a deeper relationship with him. Restful musing can look like many things. It can look like praying in the car, maybe on the way or to and from work, praying with your spouse regularly, finding places to pray out loud. I find for me especially, it's very restful, musing on the Lord, to pray out loud. It doesn't feel like there's anything between me and God. I can just pray and cry out loud. Sometimes those prayers look like, God, where the heck are you? But many times, he still says, I'm here, and I hear you. And then One of the funny things that my mentor encouraged me recently is to make monuments. The Old Testament people of Israel made monuments everywhere. They set up stones and rocks. When the Jordan was parted, when they went into the Promised Land, the same thing as the Red Sea, then the river was parted, walls of water on both sides. They made a monument of 12 stones on the other side to remind them of the faithfulness of the Lord in the desert. So when God does something good in your life, write it down. Put it in a thankful list. Make a place in your home, maybe, that's dedicated to good memories. And when you make that place, go there often. When you need to know the grace and the hope of our Redeemer Jesus, go to those places where you've set up monuments to the times where God has been with you. When the circumstances feel bleak, remember the Lord. He always has a plan to deliver his people. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the ways that you cause us and call us to remember you. Lord, I pray that as we remember you, that we remember rightly, we'd remember who you really are, not who we sometimes think you are when we don't think you're present or don't think you're good. Lord, have help us to remember that you are present and you are good. Even when our circumstances feel bleak, God, you have a plan. You're bringing us through them. And God, even now, if there are people here who are suffering, Lord, I pray that they would know that you are good, that you have a plan, and that you are the only sure hope for their soul of eternal freedom from sin and suffering. And while it's hard now, God, or maybe it isn't, maybe there's people here who are blessed. I can count many blessings in my own life. Lord, I pray we'd make monuments, set up places where we can look to you and worship you for who you are and how good you are to us. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the Psalms and for the Bible that is the only sure hope and foundation for any sufferer in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Thank you, God, for today. We love you, and it's in your name I pray. Amen.